Bottom Line.
Welcome everybody to The Bottom Line. Excited to be with you. This episode is titled The Rise of the False Gospel. Really what I want to do today is give you a roadmap to the false gospel that is absolutely rampant in America today. And why is that important? It is important because it is steering us as a nation off a cliff, a nation that was founded on biblical principle. The number one text quoted by the founding fathers in drafting the Constitution was the Bible, which means the Bible is superior than the Constitution. So for the constitutionalists out there that defend the Constitution with the last breath in your body, I would recommend that you start defending the Bible with the last breath in your body, because we are steering our nation off a cliff, and it's not necessarily happening from the elite or what I call the constant government, the government that doesn't change when presidents change around the world, the ones who control power, money, those who bow to principalities of darkness, because we are, in fact, according to Scripture, in a battle not of flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. So let's dive in. I want to get real specific here and really uncover. I believe in this time it is the year of reformation. We are about to see God uncovering evil, the plans of Satan, the plans of the demonic, and much of it is in the church. That's, in fact, what you would do. It's what, in fact, happened with the Trojan horse. The best battle is always from within. If you can infiltrate, and this is why we have spy games. This is why we have an intelligence bureau. This is why the KGB is the KGB. This is why every nation, you know, MI6, the CIA, they infiltrate. This is how we work with informants. You get someone to go undercover or deep undercover. It works because from the inside, you can disrupt, you can divide and conquer. What makes us think that Satan would not use that ploy to divide the very thing that he is diabolically opposed against, which is not politics, okay? We are so focused on the shiny objects in this country. We're so focused on politics and political leaders, but it's a battle of powers and principalities. It's a spiritual battle, and who's lining up with which side of the camp spiritually, and then that alignment, that betrothal, manifests in the physical. What you tie yourself to within the spiritual will manifest in the physical. So let's look at a roadmap. Much prayer has gone into this. We've had some crazy things happen recently in the church. And look, I'm not here to condemn, shame, or judge. It's not my job. It's not what I do. But I am absolutely to represent the label I live my life under, meaning Christianity, and line it up according to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and is a false gospel. And so it must be, because there are two kingdoms rising at the same time. One will fall in the final battle. We understand, reading Revelation, that it's the kingdom of God that's above every kingdom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But there definitely is the rise of the Antichrist, and the process, we're living in it. Not going to tell you when it's happening, when the Lord's coming back. No man knows the plans of the Lord, and the Lord investigates man's heart. However, we can read the signs of the times. We are to read the signs of the times, and we are in unprecedented times. We're in times where the Trojan horse has successfully made it through the gates into the inner workings in the halls of the church, and may I say, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and predominantly, possibly, today, false gospels are being preached. So let's take a look at this. Before we do, though, I want to thank Storyville Coffee. Storyville, number one coffee roaster in America, arguably the world. We'll ship coffee straight to your house. You know that we combat human trafficking. You know that we will go after every single child that is either in danger, that is vulnerable, or a child that is being trafficked, to see them liberated, set free, redeemed. And Storyville Coffee has put their money where their mouth is. They have absolutely stepped up and has historically done so with that company. And they align with our mission to help you, as you drink coffee, help us rescue children out of the scourge of sex trafficking. Storyville Coffee, phenomenal Incredible mission statement, incredible company. Why don't you go to storyvillecoffee.com and register? Get some coffee shipped straight to your door. They've got a morning brew for you caffeine lovers that love your espresso, which would be me. Or for those of you who want to have a bit of a lighter experience in the prologue series, go to storyvillecoffee.com. There's amazing other goodies there. Also, phenomenal food shipped straight to your house. Subscribe to Storyville Coffee, because you know when you drink a cup of Storyville Coffee right here, I mean, and I am there. Flyboy is the logo, the innocence of a child. That's Flyboy. Children should dream. Children should be raised in a safe environment and community. It's what Storyville is literally all about. It's from the father's heart. Company 16 years standing up for the vulnerable, the broken, on a search and rescue mission. So I encourage you, go to storyvillecoffee.com, register, have some coffee shipped to your home, and you will thank me for it. And you will know that when you drink a cup of Storyville Coffee, you're directly, with every single cup, helping us rescue children out of human trafficking. Thank you, Storyville. Let's dive in. The rise of the false gospel in America. We're not going to go into a history lesson. I'm going to focus on the now, here, where we are today. Recently in the news, and we're not going to dive into the story too deeply, but recently in the news, number two story, I think, last week in the U.S., is the story, of course, of John Lindell, James River Church, Springfield, Missouri, who gets a former porn star, male porn star, stripper, pole dancer, to open a men's conference with arguably 8,000-10,000 people in a stadium on a platform, a riser, which is dangerous. When you give a man a platform, you're elevating the man. So elevating this image, there's a pole dance that happens. I'm sure you saw it, sword swallowing, whatever. To open up a men's, Christian men's conference, then you know Mark Driscoll came on stage. Mark humbled himself, took a knee, said, I don't want to do this. Mark had a rebuke, said it's the spirit of Jezebel. Absolutely. Of course, John Lindell comes on stage, quotes Matthew 18, said, you should have come to me in private. Pause. Problem. John, you didn't do it in private. You displayed a diabolical act to open a Christian men's conference to thousands of people who, if not corrected in the moment, would have left that day thinking that the gospel of Jesus Christ aligns with some dude taking his shirt off on a pole, swallowing a sword, and all the nuance and context, all the triggering that happens for the men in that room that are addicted to porn, creating a foothold for Satan to come in and say, this is normal, the church condones it. Because they've seen other acts of pole dancing women in pornography, etc. So subliminally, it's supporting the narrative that it's okay to observe this because my church, my mega church, is hosting this. And by the way, you don't get somebody to go speak at a mega event like that if it's not cleared by a board, cleared by the lead pastor, probably his wife. So to say, well, listen, Mark, you should have come to me in private, you made it public. You presented it as part of the gospel. Because if it was a men's conference about the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ways of Jesus. The man who said, I only say what I hear my father say, and I only do what I see my father do. And I promise you that it was not elevating a naked man on a platform and a pole swallowing a sword. No, it was the King of Kings humbling himself, covering the nudity of a prostitute. Writing with the hand of God, the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments with Moses on a tablet on a mountain, wrote in the sand, said, cast your stones if you were without sin, and said to the woman, now go and sin no more. Didn't elevate her on the platform and said, this is part of my testimony. This is part of my gospel. This is how I'm representing my father. Absolutely not. I know Mark apologized. My opinion, Mark did it out of humility. Should not have apologized for that. Because thousands of men, if they didn't in that moment, hear that that's not part of Jesus. You're not going to find a place in Scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you can justify what we just saw as an accurate representation of who the Father is. They would have gone home thinking that it's normal. They would have questioned, am I right? Am I wrong? Is that normal? For the ones in that room that were struggling already with immorality or on their path towards immorality, and even more dangerous, the teenagers that were in the room would have thought, my church says this is normal. Now, this show is not about that event, but I'm painting that as a result of the rise of a false gospel. That's how it manifests in society. But it doesn't start there. Something went awry way earlier. Could have been 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Something is wrong in the think tank of that church. We understand what's happening with IHOP, International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle. We understand what happened with Ravi Zacharias. We watch ministries fall. And the moment it falls is not the moment it went off track. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back. We've got to backtrack way earlier and go find out where did the gospel of Jesus Christ change? When did the thinking change? So I want to unpack this for you, what I felt like God laid on my heart, because we deal with this within the anti-trafficking movement, where there is spiritual ritual abuse, seances and witchcraft and satanic rituals and demonic possession and all kinds of turmoil within the lives of human beings and often teenagers. It's a reality. They deal with a darkness. And unless the gospel of Jesus Christ is accurately represented, it will not be the light in the darkness. It becomes something that's lukewarm where God says, I will spew you out. So let's unpack this real quick. I want to run a timeline on how an individual and then an organization, church, nonprofit, whatever that is, okay, arrives at a point where it promotes a false gospel. Because it doesn't start just day one. It's a progressive path. So let's look at the false gospel roadmap. All right. I want to start in the very beginning here. We are living in an age where Gen Z, 12 through 25 year olds in America, are getting all attention. We're placating to Gen Z. And I'm not judging you as a Gen Zer, but I'm just calling fact a fact. Churches are elevating Gen Zers that are 22, 23-year-old to have oversight over 45-year-old fathers of the faith, 55, 60-year-old fathers of the faith in their churches, overruling them. No life experience, not the depth in the doctrine, understanding of the Word of God, the application of the Word of God, right? We're placating to Gen Z to elevate them to places of leadership, right? Point number one, that culture, that generation lives on emotion. Everything we see from Gen Z, widely informed, the most informed generation in recorded history. Very shallow. Not shallow people, shallow information. Okay? There's no time for a Gen Zer to go deep in a subject because they consume at a rate of a news cycle that's 4 hours. It used to be 12 hours. It's 4 hours. They're consuming such a volume of information, but it's shallow. When you have shallow information, you don't form core convictions. When you lack core conviction, you have a problem because you can't defend your opinion. You can't defend your stance. You see it every day. You see it every day on social media. You ask somebody, why do you believe this? And they can't defend it. They get angry. The spirit manifests. Because it's a lack of conviction. It's not a conviction that drove them to that outcome and that decision. It's an emotion, and you can get swept up in emotion very easily. The disciples walking with Jesus was swept up in emotion. A disciple cuts the ear off of a soldier, and Jesus says, I'm restoring this ear. Put your sword away. A disciple gets swept up in an emotion, telling Jesus, surely you will not die on a cross. And he rebukes him and he says, get behind me, Satan. We are operating on emotion in this country. We are placating to emotion. We lived through 2021, 2020, COVID, 2021, the rise and fall of movements in this country. We understand the immoral status of our country. It's all emotion. Play to my emotions, living life by emotion. Here's what happens when emotion rules a person. You form emotional hurt. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So that emotional hurt, the second you take an emotional hurt, here's what happens with leaders of the faith. When they do not get therapy themselves, counseling themselves, when they can't say, hey, I've got a problem. That was the Ravi Zacharias situation, possibly the Mike Bickle situation, where they can't take wise counsel and to go get help, right? That emotional hurt, what they do is called fractioning. Fractioning happens with human trafficking victims all the time. You fraction a piece of yourself off in order to operate and function for survivors, for traffic victims to survive while being trafficked. You fraction. You could call it an alter ego personality. It's fractioning. When a spiritual leader takes emotional hurt and pain and they fraction it off, here's what happens. There's a gospel that they preach to their congregation and to the world, but they live by a different gospel in that fractioned self. Because in the fractioned self, there's hurt. And when hurt is there in the emotion and it's not healed, you start self-medicating. And that self-medication could be depression, suicide ideation, alcohol, drugs, sex, big self-soothing component. Yes, pornography, immorality, right? So now you have a fractioned individual who can stand on a stage, preach the Word of God, preach around certain elements of the Word of God, but live in a personal life in a fractioned state under a different set, let's just call it rules. Because you would say, well, how is it that this guy for 30 years can preach the Word of God, can pray fire into a room, but had this secret life, fractioned it off? Here's what happens. Emotional hurt untreated by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus, covering it, healing it, right? Becomes self-medicated. You start looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ through the fractioned self. Then you start justifying the gospel and your brokenness, and you marry them. So you're finding a place where your fractioned being, your hurt, your emotional hurt, can coexist with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the Redeemer. So certain scriptures apply, certain don't, a different set of rules. The second that happens, there is a two-tiered system in that individual. And I'm talking about pastors, but I'm talking about just any Christian. The second that happens, the tolerance of sin comes in. But here's the issue. They'll preach against sin at first to the congregation, but tolerate the sin for the self-soothing in their fractioned self. And they'll filter the gospel of Jesus Christ and marry it, coexist, and justify sin in their own lives. This is where you find pastors that say, well, porn is not bad. Pornography doesn't hurt anybody. It's because in their own fractioned self, they're wrestling with it. They're justifying it. At some point, then it becomes a lifestyle. It produces a false gospel in themselves, and over time, they start preaching that false gospel to the congregation. This takes time. They start preaching their biblical view through their brokenness, justification of sin, fractioned identity, and they start preaching the gospel through a lens of justifying their own brokenness. But now they're perpetuating it to the body. So now you'll find pastors that will say, well, we don't preach about hell. We don't really preach about heaven. We've heard things like, well, it's a prosperity gospel. It's a this, it's a that, it's the other thing. They're preaching to their fractioned self. They're justifying, self-soothing. At first, it's private. At first, it's personal. At first, it's not. They'll preach one message to the church and a different message to themselves. But their view changes. When they justify it and they pair the gospel with their fractioned self, their view literally of the gospel changes, and they start preaching that gospel, to the masses. This is why the Methodist Church is splitting again. This is why you can see a church hang a flag of a sexual orientation over their church name that is in opposition with the Word of God. This is why you can see pastors twist the Word of God, take it out of context. Because they're preaching to their own fractioned self, but they're now preaching it to the masses. Here's what happens. The second they start proclaiming it as the true gospel, which it is not, to the masses, as a shepherd, they're now leading the flock astray. Here's what happens. They start producing what's called a quorum in their leadership team. This is what happened with a Mike Bickle situation. This is what happened with Lindell at James River Church. It wasn't just him that decided some dude's going to dance on a pole. There was a committee that hosted the event. There's elders in the church. There's leadership. There's his wife. He didn't just hoodwink everybody and say, surprise, we're not opening with worship. Dude's on a pole. So the gospel of the fractioned self and the leadership becomes quorum. You get friends. Misery loves company. When you get a quorum, it starts defending and covering and protecting the false gospel. So now you're operating in sin. You're promoting sin because it's not the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's a defense mechanism. This affirmation within the quorum, within the leadership team. Now it's not just one individual. This happens over time. This is why it's not overnight. This is why it's so dangerous if something is misaligned with the gospel and you don't correct it right away, you stray. Now there's a quorum. Once the quorum is there, if somebody in the congregation comes and questions it, they're silenced. They're rebuked. Scripture is thrown in their face and they're quoted. Oh, no, 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 no. What did Lindell do? First thing he did is he stepped on stage. When Driscoll corrected him, he's like, Matthew 18 says you should come to me in private. You didn't display your false gospel in private. You displayed it in front of 8,000 men who all are going to go home thinking that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to correct not you necessarily. Mark didn't correct. If you go look at that video, he didn't say, Pastor, I want to talk to you. He took a knee and he said, hey, I want to let you know we started this thing off wrong. The spirit of Jezebel is in the room. That is not God. I understand rocks are thrown at Driscoll because of his past. I'm not here to talk about his past, defend nothing about his past. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about the fact that this country is talking about the wrong issue in that context. They're talking about Mark Driscoll. Everything is about him. Wait a second. Let's talk about the decisions months before, weeks before, days before, hours before, to put a guy on a pole. Let's talk about the justification of that fractioned false gospel. No justification. Does not align with the Word of God. Never mind the church affirming the guy who's dancing on the pole, telling him your lifestyle and your choices are A-OK with the church. Please align that for me. The Lord did not say, continue, prostitute. I'm going to cover your shame and your sin. I'm going to write in the sand. I'm going to tell you, go and sin no more. Yes, God silenced. Jesus silenced those who came to stone her to death and said, throw a rock if you're without sin. But he did tell her, go sin no more. He didn't say, this is the way. Let me open my sermon by bringing the naked prostitutes in. Nonsense. But we're talking about Driscoll versus we should talk about the decision that led to presenting a false gospel to thousands of men at a Christian men's conference. That's called the spirit of deception. Once a quorum is formed, let's get back on track on the roadmap. When a quorum is formed, here's what happens. It defends the false gospel. It protects the false gospel. It silenced the voices in the pews that are questioning it with scripture. You've seen it. When we see churches that's talking about, you know, the nuclear family is not important in the church, right? And they start quoting scripture. When they start saying, well, Paul didn't really at the time know what he was talking about when he was talking about sexual immorality in the context, and we don't know. No. The Word of God says it's an abomination. Guess what? It means it's an abomination. What the Word of God calls sin is sin. You can't slice this any other way. Anything else is the justification of self-fraction, self, and the battle that an individual doesn't want to surrender to the Lord. So it's really from the spirit of pride. Now, when the quorum is formed, here's what happens. It produces a constitution. I started this show with telling you that the Constitution of the United States, the most cited document, is the Word of God. The Constitution of the United States was drafted off of the Word of God. When a ministry, through their decisions of a false gospel roadmap, results in setting a constitution, meaning governing mechanism for that church, for that body, for your home. This is not just about the church. When you fraction and you teach your children, do what I say, don't do what I do, you are fractioning off your lifestyle from the truth, from what's right. You tell your son, don't smoke when you have a cigarette in your mouth. You're fractioning off. You are operating. Ultimately, the little dragon that you feed, that's cute, the little private sin in your fraction self, while you're preaching the true gospel, but you've got a different gospel for your own life, and you're feeding the little dragon in the closet, that sucker grows and he grows multiple heads. And trust me, the dragon always eats the master. You can only feed it so long. That's what you saw manifest last weekend at a men's conference. The dragon was out of control. The dragon became the master. It was a little tiny dragon in the closet that was hidden, that grew just enough, that found friends called a quorum, that became a biblical view through brokenness, justification of sin, false gospel. False gospel from the quorum presented to the body. False gospel taught that becomes a constitution. The governing way, the document that governs that home, your marriage, you as a CEO, the church. But when you have a constitution that doesn't align with the constitution, we don't need to write another constitution. It's written. It's called the Bible. First letter to last period. Don't change a thing, cannot add, cannot take away. We don't need to write another constitution. Churches operate with a different constitution because of the result of their choices on this roadmap to a false gospel. They then govern that body by that law. Now you're affecting thousands of families. Ask any sniper, any sniper. You don't miss the target at the target. No good sniper, you miss, will tell you different. You miss the target when the bullet leaves the barrel. You're off a fraction at the barrel. You're going to miss that target by a mile. You got to be square on at the barrel. The tip of the barrel better be dead center or you miss. It doesn't take much to take the tip of that barrel and move it. And at 100 yards, 50 yards, 20 yards, you're missing. The further you go down the road by feeding the little dragon, you're not missing it by inches. You're missing it by a mile. The false gospel of Jesus Christ is rampant in the American church because leadership in the church deal with private sin because it starts with emotional hurt and we're placating to emotion. And listen, let me read some scripture to you. You don't think Jesus got emotional? He did. And then he checked himself by going to his father. Everything I'm going to read to you is New King James. It's my choice translation. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, Pharisees, Sadducees, the leaders of the time, the Knesset of Israel today, the leadership of the church, etc. They gathered together. The one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul," mark that word, "and with all your mind." Your mind plays tricks on you based on your emotions. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's get into soul for a second. The word soul has a deep meaning in Hebrew. It really means lifeblood. God talks about breathing into Adam and Eve, breathing into their nostrils. God gave breath to your lungs in the womb of your mother. So soul is the very being, the essence, the whole, not a part. Nefesh is the word in Hebrew. It's lifeblood. Genesis 2:7, the breath of God into the body. 2 Thessalonians 2:8-10. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan. Lawless. Do we have lawlessness in our country at the moment? Do we justify lawlessness? Do we abandon the law? Did California just say that buying a 16 and 17-year-old for sex is a misdemeanor this week? Yes, they did. That's lawless because we've got statutory rape. We've got anti-trafficking laws in California that says 17. Lawlessness is the work. I'm reading scripture to you. Okay, so let's not preach a false gospel here. Scripture says it is the work of Satan. So people in their emotional brokenness fraction off, come in alignment with the work of Satan, look at the gospel and changes the gospel to justify their own sin because they don't want to surrender their sin to God. The blood of Jesus covering their sin, healing them so they can align with the real gospel and have a testimony of liberation. He will set you free because he set me free. I came from brokenness. Go speak to Heather Schott at Mercy Culture Church. There was a drug addict that tells you how God liberated her. And today she preaches the true gospel and tells you that anybody that got set free from anything will tell you the true gospel set me free. The woman at the well comes to draw water. He says, "You draw this water, but when you drink from it, you will never thirst again. I know you. I know you. I know your affairs. I know your husbands. I know you're living with a man that's not your husband." She doesn't stand there and lollygag. She runs to the city. She sprints. She becomes an evangelist instantaneously. She does what? She tells him, there is a man who knows me, but he doesn't know me. He's the Messiah. He knows me. He says I can be born again, washed. But what does she do? She says to them, go to him and see for yourself. What does that mean? It's not just your testimony, which could be a false gospel. It's saying, no. Go to him for yourself. What is she saying? Go to the true gospel. You go yourself. Don't take my word for it. You go yourself and you go dive into the word of God, the true gospel, and you go test it. The Lindells of the world, they won't do that. They won't do that. They're not going to say, hey, go read for yourself and then come tell us what you think God says about sexual immorality. Mm-mm. They tell you a false gospel. They justify it for you. They don't say, here's my testimony. He set me free. Now you go. You go to the man yourself and you go test it yourself and see what he does for you. See how he sets you free. See, sharing our testimony is one thing. But is it the true gospel? Are you willing to point back to the source? Are you willing to talk with reverence about the source? Deuteronomy 6, 4 verse through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all of your being, with your life blood. There's nothing about you that can be fractioned off. There's no hurt you can reserve. There's no pain you can reserve. There's no sin you can hide. You are to surrender it all. You are to love him with all of it. You're to love him with your brokenness. He didn't tell the woman at the well, you were not willing to tell me, but I know. I know the man you live with is not your husband. And you know what? It disqualifies you. No, he's the qualifier. He's the qualifier. If you choose him, if you bring it to him, if you love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, your physical being, your mental capacity, your emotions, stop seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ through your emotions. Jesus himself put his emotions in check, took his emotions to his Father. Yaku, how can you say that? Takes a couple of his disciples and says, hey, will you stay awake and pray with me, please? I'm about to enter the time which was foreshadowed by Elijah, David, prophesied. I'm coming to this planet for a mission, on a search and rescue mission, and the time has come. He knew, I'm about to go hang on a cross. I'm about to be shamed, condemned, blamed for things I didn't do. I'm about to go, and the pressure and the weight, the emotional turmoil was so intense that blood came out of his pores. Do you know that that's physically possible? Go research it. Pressure in a human being can be so intense that blood can seep through the skin. That's emotional distress. Soul distress. His whole lifeblood was in distress. What did he do? He yielded it to his Father. He didn't run. He didn't falsify the gospel. He didn't change the message. Like, well, boys, you know what? There is a scenario where maybe I don't have to hang on the cross. There is a scenario where maybe we can convince them to make the sentence a little lighter. No, Jesus would have to hoodwink God, his Father. But they're one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Knowing that his Father is all-knowing, there's no way to hoodwink God. So he goes to his Father and says, Father, if this cup could pass me by, let it. But if not, let your will be done. What does he do? He takes his emotions, his feelings, his pain, his suffering, his soul turmoil, and he surrenders it. He doesn't fraction it off. I'm going to tell my disciples, surrender all. Surely you will not inherit the kingdom of God unless you are born again. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Last Supper, if you drink of my body, if you drink of my blood, eat of my body, they, what is this guy talking about? He didn't tell him, well, you do this, but I go do that. When I go in the garden, I play games with the gospel of my Father, with the work of my Father, with the constitution of heaven. No, there are no games to be played. Cannot hoodwink God. So the question is, what constitution do you live by? Which constitution is paramount in your life? Is it the Constitution of the United States? Which constitution are you willing to defend to death? Esther. Hey, I wasn't summoned by the king. He may sentence me to death. If I die, I die. What constitution is your church operating under? And no, this is a flammable subject. But if it's not the full, true, unfiltered, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ as written in the Word of God, not interpreted by man, revealed with revelation by the Holy Spirit. If it's not that, it's the wrong constitution. Because you will form a quorum, you will get people to agree with you, you'll start preaching a false gospel in your home, in your company, in your church, and you'll lead people astray. And there is great accountability in the kingdom of heaven for the shepherds of the faith. It is the word of God or nothing. Now, what do we do with sin? We surrender it. We take the emotional brokenness. We don't elevate it. We don't fuel it. We don't feed the dragon. We surrender it. And yes, we get correction according to the word of God in love, because, praise God, there's mercy and grace. Praise God, it's new every day. Praise God, Jesus doesn't have to hang on the cross again. When he said it is finished, by the way, I want you to understand, tetelestai, the word he actually uttered in Hebrew, means the contract is signed. There was a spiritual debt to pay. For me. For you. Humanity. That I could not pay. His father said, son, will you go and pay this debt on behalf of my people? Undeserved. When he said it is finished, when he uttered that Hebrew word, it said, I'm signing the contract with my blood. Blood pacts, blood sacrifice, historically in the Bible, unspotted calf, goat, 22,000 bulls. 22,000? 22,000 in a single offering. Took weeks. Blood sacrifice. The contract was signed in blood. What does the demonic do? What does the satanic do? They make blood sacrifice. We talk about the blood of children. We talk about blood sacrifice. He paid the contract in blood, signed it, completed it. So it means contract signed, debt extinguished, paid. Whose debt? His? He didn't have debt. He had no debt. Your debt, my children's debt. This is not a game. We cannot do anything but represent the full gospel of Jesus Christ. It can feel tough sometimes. It can feel strong in language, abomination. These are guiding posts to get the barrel back on the target, to make sure we don't miss the kingdom of heaven. People say there's brokenness in their families, brokenness in their relationships, their finance. They're falling apart. They wonder why. It's a misalignment with the constitution of heaven by creating a false constitution on earth in the church, which is very, very dangerous, because now you're justifying a false constitution by quoting scripture. But maybe just in your own life, even for the unmarried. What is the constitution you're living by? What is the set of rules you're living by? Is the Bible fluid? Is the constitution that you created for your life a little bit of Bible, a little bit of self, a little bit of devil, a little bit of Satan, a little bit of emotion, a little bit of the movement you're following, whatever the movement is, the flavor of the day? What is the constitution you're living by? What is the constitution I'm living by? What is the constitution I use to raise my children? If it's not the Word of God in its totality, absolute truth, then I'm operating by the wrong constitution. Which means every day I need to repent. I need to self-reflect. I need to keep my emotions in check. I need to surrender my emotions to my Father. I need to align my emotions with the Word of God. I'm not operating by my emotions. I'm not led by my emotions. I'm to surrender all the lifeblood in me, my soul, my physical body, my mind to Him as I serve Him. And the result is correction in love from a loving Father. Redemption in Christ, grace and mercy that's new every day. A cloud by day, fire by night, water coming out of a rock. The impossible being possible. Him making the crooked way straight. Him being the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. We love quoting these things. We love the Christianese. We love the blessings of heaven. Do we love the constitution of heaven, which is called the Word of God? Moses came down that mountain with a constitution. You know what he found? And by the way, his people sent him up the mountain. You go talk to God. We need answers. We need God to speak. Okay, go up the mountain. He goes up the mountain. The finger of God writes on a tablet, same finger that wrote in the sand, one God. He comes down with a constitution. Thus says the Lord. They made a calf. Sorry. We know we sent you up there to go talk to God, but you know what? We kind of figured we'll fraction this off. You're going to come talk to us about the constitution of God, but you kind of caught us in the middle of the act. You weren't really supposed to know. We kind of made our own constitution. We melted our jewelry and we made a calf. Can we maybe operate in both? Smashes the tablets. Abomination. Do not operate by a false constitution, a false gospel, and do not, if you're a pastor today, feed that little dragon. Rather, even if it means you get removed from leadership, even if it means you lose title, position, status, treasure, rather be right with God. Go and say, listen, I have an emotional hurt that's unchecked. I have fed it with self-soothing mechanisms, whatever that is. I need help. That's where Matthew 18 comes in. Let's go to the brother in private. Say, hey, we're seeing something here. That should have happened before the guy was on the pole. Someone in that quorum should have said, hey, guys, I'm finding a hard time making this work in my mind in the Bible. So can we check this in private? Maybe it did happen. I don't know that it didn't. Remember, the quorum rejects correction, right? Then you go with a council of wisdom. Not social media. So Lindell so quickly quoted Matthew 18, but did he listen to Matthew 18? Because maybe somebody in that church did warn him. Maybe they did come with a with a council of wisdom saying, hey, we implore, please do not do this. This is going to misrepresent Jesus. Or maybe the quorum was so strong that those voices were just blocked. By the time he put it on stage for the world to see and endorsed it, right? Very likely paid for it. Very likely financially rewarded the individual. Right? Now you got 8,000 people that need to be corrected in the moment. Not that they need correction, the issue needed correction. Somewhere, a false gospel was being preached, a quorum was formed, a new constitution was instilled to the point where they justified that, yes, we're going to tell the people Jesus is okay with this. And he was not. When Peter said, hold up. You're not going to, what, die? You're not dying. No way, dude. You're the Messiah. I'll fight them all. Peter, the fighter. He's, who do we fight? You're not dying. Literally, the words were, get behind me, Satan. Why? You are trying to water down my Father's gospel, my Father's constitution, what I'm here for. You cannot change what I came for. This was a disciple. Who are we to water down the gospel of Jesus Christ and misrepresent it? No, we should say, Holy Spirit, please guide us where we have misaligned. And we do unintentionally misalign at times. Our thinking does get off. We're influenced by the world. We're being refined every day to look more, feel more, act more, behave more like Jesus. We are a work in progress. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. May we become more and more like that. There's the roadmap to the false gospel. Be aware of the false gospel. Line it up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up, get correction, biblical correction in love. God bless you. Don't forget Storyville Coffee. It's good coffee, and you're going to feel good when you drink a cup of coffee knowing that a child is being liberated. God bless you.